I said earlier, the room would probably look packed when I got up here, and I was kind of right. So before I start tripping over my words here, we'll bow our heads and open this meeting in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift that is your Son. Him, the sinless one who came to earth, who took all our sins upon him when he died on the cross and was resurrected 3 days later. We ask for blessings on this meeting, that those here who are not yet saved might understand the urgency and the need of their salvation, and that they hear your words and not have their hearts hardened to them. And ask for blessings on those of us who are speaking tonight, that we might be scriptural and true and deliver our words with some ease. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So unlike most of the speakers who come up here, I'm more a writer than a speaker. So if you see me looking down a lot, it's because I got a lot of notes down here and I'm not just avoiding eye contact, but I'm doing that too. So a lot of you know that this time of year, it carries some meaning for me. November 15th, 2 years ago, my fiance suddenly and quick passed away. And that's what started me moving up here. And then 1 year ago, just last weekend, I was up here telling my testimony. I was up and down pretty quick, and hopefully this message will last a little bit longer and be just as important, though. So, these past 2 years for me have been a big time of reflection, thinking on death, eternity, one of the only bright sides that come from tragedy is that we start to confront the things that we don't normally want to think about. In times of the loss like this, a lot of people will start to ask questions. What happens when we die? Where do we go? What does life mean? These are questions that we can, and for the most part, do just ignore. But whenever tragedy strikes, things like this have inevitably bubbled to the surface. Life is uncertain. None of us know how much time we have left, and in the grand scheme of things, our lives are just a brief speck here on earth. The Bible itself says this in James 4 and 14. Just a side note, I have a lot of verses. It may be easier for people just to listen along than to try and flip to them. But in James 4 and 14, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of our daily lives. Jobs, families, our ambitions, personal goals, whatever. It's easy to forget about the much bigger thing that's at stake, our eternal lives. The truth is, we're all moving towards eternity. Whether we like to think about it or not, one day we all stand before God. And the decisions that we make now, in this life, is what will determine where we will be. There's only two destinations that we will spend eternity in. We'll either have eternal life with God in heaven, or eternal separation from God in hell in the lake of fire. These aren't just abstract concepts. These are the reality that all of us will face. We can look to the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 3. He speaks about the incredible love that God has for us and the choice that we must make. In John 3, verses 16 through 19, it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." In what we just read here, we see two things: the love of God and the reality of our judgment. God loves us so much that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save us. But it also shows that there's a choice to be made. Those who believe in Jesus will be saved and have eternal life, but those who do not believe are already condemned because they have rejected the only means to their salvation. This is the entirety, this is the message of the gospel, God's incredible love for us. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins and the need for each of us to respond to that gift. To understand this, we need to come to the reality of what is our sin. The Bible makes it pretty clear that sin is universal. In Romans 3 and 23, it reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Such a simple statement, just one line. But it has big implications for all of us. Every single one of us has sinned. Doesn't matter how good you think you are, how moral you think you are. It doesn't matter. When we measure ourselves against God's perfect standard, we all fall short, every one of us. So what is sin then? Sin is any thought, action, attitude, anything that goes against God's will. It isn't just the huge, obvious things that all of us think of, murder, theft. It's that pride in our hearts, or that selfishness. It's every lie that we tell others and every lie that we tell ourselves. It's any time that we fail to love God with all our heart and all our strength. It's everyday things that go unnoticed to most people. Our impatience, our anger, our bitterness towards people, ignoring things that you should have done. This is the reason that we all fall short of God's standard. Isaiah 53 and 6 reads, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Rather than following God's wills for our lives, we have chosen to go on our own way, to pursue our own desires and our own goals. This world that we live in, so many people say, follow your heart. But even the Bible warns us against this. Jeremiah 17 and 9, it tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But sin isn't just the wrong things that we do. It's in our very nature. We are born into a sinful nature, and because of that, we start our lives separated from God. That's why we are all in need of salvation. Sin affects every part of your life, whether you know it or not. Your thoughts, your actions, even your relationships. It distorts the way you see the world and the way you even see yourself. The consequences to sin is death. Romans 6 and 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal, life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin, meaning the results of our sin, is death. And that's not just a physical death. That's inevitable for all of us. This is a spiritual death, the eternal separation of us from God. That'll lead you to hell in the lake of fire. I know hell isn't a popular topic for most people to talk about, but it is a reality that we all have to face. I know I've heard people ask, why would God, this loving God, send people to hell? But the truth is, God isn't sending anybody to hell. We're all on a path that leads to hell. Hell is the default destination if you do nothing. Anybody who has not received salvation through Jesus Christ will end up there. The Bible describes hell and the lake of fire as a place of eternal torment. It's a place that is a complete separation from God. There's no hope, there's no peace, there's no joy. It's a place of eternal regret for those who have rejected God's gift. That first hymn we sang tonight, one of my favorites, number 152. It reminds us of the urgency of responding to this message, to this gospel message. Too many people come in here and hear the message and think, I'll deal with that another time. I don't have to think about that today. But we don't know how much time we have here. The Bible warns us that today is the day of salvation. God didn't leave us in our sin. That's the good news, the bright shining light of the gospel. God gave us all a way to be saved. We read it earlier. It's right here on the wall. It's John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love for us was so great that he was willing to send his only child, Jesus Christ, down to earth to die in our place. Jesus Christ, that one who was without sin at all, took upon himself the punishment that we all deserved for our sin. He lived a perfect and sinful life, something none of us could ever even come close to doing. And then he willingly went to the cross and bared the penalty, bared the price for all our sins. On the cross, Jesus bore the weight of our sins. Every wrong thought, every wrong action, every failure, every time we fail to live up to God's perfection, he took it all on himself. He took that punishment that we all deserved so that we could be forgiven. He took that penalty of death so that we could have life. And because of his sacrifice, we are all offered the gift of eternal life in heaven. Salvation is a gift. It's not something that we can earn or achieve. Not through our own efforts by any means. It's not about being good enough or doing good enough. It's about receiving the gift that God is offering to us all freely, right now, through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Just imagine for a minute that you're out at sea and you're drowning, out in the middle of the ocean. You'd be struggling to stay afloat out there. It's so cold. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, you can't make it to shore on your own. Pardon me. But then suddenly a lifeboat appears and the captain throws you a lifeline. All you have to do is grab a hold of it and you'd be saved out in that ocean. That's what God has done for all of us. We are all drowning in our sin, unable to save ourselves, and God threw us the lifeline of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Would you really turn away from that? That second hymn we sang tonight, number 322, that one reminds us about how all our hope needs to rest in Jesus Christ. All our own efforts, our own righteousness will never be enough. It's all like a sinking sand, as the hymn says. Only Jesus provides the solid rock of salvation. Jesus is the only way. There is no other path to salvation, no other name by which we can be saved. It's good to note, though, when we talk about salvation, the most important part, obviously, is that is the forgiveness of our sins and escaping that the destiny that is hell in the lake of fire. But being saved is also a transformation in us, a transformation that happens in our hearts and in our lives. In John 3, Jesus says this to Nicodemus. In John 3:3, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." To be saved means for us to be born again. It's not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God makes us anew. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When we're saved, we're no longer the same person we used to be. That old life that was marked by our sin and our separation from God, it's gone. We are made new in Christ. This regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the process by which God changes us from the inside out. When we're born again, our desires change. We no longer will want to live our lives for ourselves. We want to live them for God. Now, I'll be clear. It's not a miraculous transformation where you do a 180 right away. It's a transformation that happens as we grow in our relationship with God. We might stumble some, we'll fall, we'll still sin, but God isn't done with us. He'll be continually working on us once you accept him. So then I guess the question is where do you all stand tonight? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior, or are you still putting off that decision? I said earlier, the Bible was clear. 2 Corinthians 6:2 reads, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There very much is an urgency of this message. None of us know how much time we have here. Life is very fragile, and none of us are promised tomorrow. If you've been waiting, if you've been saying, I'll be right with God later, I'll think about this tomorrow, I'm urging you not to wait. Jesus is offering you salvation right now, but you have to respond. You can't wait until it's too late. The verse I was saved through was Joel 2 and 32. It reads, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Such an important message, it was echoed again in Romans. In Romans 10 and 13, it says the exact same thing. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is offering you eternal life, forgiveness, and peace. But you must accept this gift. Will you call on him tonight?